Rafer?
Yes, Kristen.
You know what I just love?
Tell me.
I love it when politicians are idiots.
Well, then you must be happy all the time. No wonder you're always so bubbly.
They just do such wacky things.
They sure do.
Do you have a favorite thing that a politician's done recently in the last year or two?
Yeah. You know what? This is a totally obvious one, but I couldn't get enough of it at the time, and it still just cracks me up to no end. Anthony Weiner.
Oh, and just the
name
Wienergate.
I know. It's so easy and obvious, but the whole idea that he was just tweeting pictures of himself to just, you know, random women all over the internet and then completely flummoxed when it came back to bite him. I just thought that was the funniest, weirdest behavior I had seen from a politician.
Would it have been less funny if he had a different name?
Yes. Yes, it would have. Yes, it would have. It was an unfortunate confluence of events. Kristen, how about you?
You know what I just love? This is more than a couple of years ago. I loved when Dick Cheney shot his friend hunting, quote,
yeah,
accidentally.
Yeah, that was funny. Well, the funniest part was that nobody believed it was an accident, that we all just thought, yeah, I don't know. I don't think that was an accident. We all thought so poorly of Dick Cheney that we just assumed he would shoot his friend. That was the funniest part.
Well, we know why we're asking these questions.
Yes.
And revisiting these awesome moments in American politics, because this week the campaign is out.
Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis.
Absolutely. But before we talk about that, and before we talk about this week's other big releases,
yes,
Let's introduce ourselves. I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you.
All right, Rafer.
All right.
You know what? We have three big movies this week. We have Bourne Legacy, we have Hope Springs, and we have The Campaign. But before we get to our movies, let's look at last week's trivia again.
Yes, I loved last week's trivia question.
Last week's trivia, you know, we were talking a little bit about the movie Vertigo.
Yes.
Alfred Hitchcock's movie, where our main character, played by Jimmy Stewart, had a phobia of heights.
Right.
And we asked, Alfred Hitchcock also had a phobia in real life. What was it?
And we got a response. Is that right?
We did get a response that was not what we expected.
Now, I'm interested in this. Read this one out to me.
On our Facebook page, Glenn wrote, Alfred Hitchcock was deathly afraid of police because as a boy, his father had the police lock up young Alfred for an hour to teach him a lesson.
That's a true story. Alfred Hitchcock has told that story before.
Yes. And so, you know what, Glenn? I think you're right.
I guess we have to give Glenn the point.
Glenn,
judges?
You totally win, Glenn.
All
but
right, Glenn.
That's not what we had in mind.
No, it's not. That's even better. I like that.
It might be even better than ours, because the one that we had come up with was that Alfred Hitchcock was, quote, I'm gonna do this in Alfred Hitchcock's voice.
Yes, do your best, Alfred Hitchcock.
I'm frightened of eggs. Worse than frightened, they revolt me. That white round thing without any holes. Have you ever seen anything more revolting than an egg yolk breaking and spilling its yellow liquid? Blood is jolly red, ha ha ha. But egg yolk is yellow, revolting. I've never tasted it. That did not sound
remotely like Alfred Hitchcock, but we get the point. I like it. I like it. It's funny that he had this thing. I think is interesting. I'll just put a capper on this. Werner Herzog, I don't know if I'd say he has a phobia, but he has a hatred of chickens. I don't know if you knew this, but if you ever see him speak in public, just ask him any question about chickens. He will go off for five straight minutes talking about, have you ever looked into the eyes of a chicken? If you want to see pure evil, just look into the eyes of that animal. It's hilarious. It's hilarious.
You do a much better Werner Herzog than I do.
It's a slightly better German than your British, but
they're very creepy chickens. I have to agree.
Oh, you agree.
Their feet are weird. All right. But you have a trivia question for next week.
Yes, I have a trivia question for next week. Since we are talking about Hope Springs with Meryl Streep, and we are also talking about The Campaign, which is a political movie, I'm going to combine our two themes into one question. What early career film for Meryl Streep starred her as the mistress of a politician?
An early career film.
In which she starred as the mistress of a politician.
That's a tough one.
If you know it, call us, 5717-MOVIES.
Or you can go to facebook.com/moviedatepodcast. Now, let's talk about the movie that everybody's anticipating. And by that, I mean, I don't think anybody in America cares at all about The Bourne Legacy.
The movie that all of America is regarding with deep skepticism.
You think Jason Bourne was the whole story? There's a lot more going on here.
Who the hell is he?
It's Aaron Cross.
The Bourne Legacy. So Kristen, you have not seen this. We'll get this one out of the way quickly. I think a lot of people are wondering about this Bourne Legacy because it's missing a crucial person, that being Matt Damon.
Jason Bourne.
As Jason Bourne, not in the film. This is problematic, I think, for a lot of people. However, Tony Gilroy, the director of Michael Clayton and the guy who's written most, if not all, of the Bourne movies, is now taking over as director. He's a good director. The trailers look pretty good. If you've seen the trailers, they look kind of hard-hitting. So I went in, you know, with an open mind. And this film, and also Jeremy Renner, who I think a lot of people like.
He's Jeremy all right.
Renner, not playing Jason Bourne, but playing a different agent, Aaron Cross. This is just a bait and switch. This has nothing to do with Jason Bourne or his legacy. It's just about Jeremy Renner as Agent Cross, a different super agent from a different program being chased by a different bureaucrat. And it's the same story, different names. And the problem to me is, number one, I hate to say this, I think Jeremy Renner is a dud on screen. Yeah, I do. Do you like Jeremy Renner?
I don't know. I mean, I just know a lot of people love him.
Yeah, I mean,
Mission
Impossible, I thought he was a dud. I thought he dragged the film down. Avengers, I thought he was a completely useless appendage in the Avengers. I don't understand why they keep trying to turn him into an action film star. I don't think it works. I don't think he's that kind of an actor. And this movie, aside from even that, this movie is so badly directed and so boring and so talky. Good 20 minutes before anyone throws a punch, blows anything up, does anything of note. And it's just, it's people talking behind desks all the time. Edward Norton plays the new bureaucrat guy who's just, all he's doing is sitting in a bunker yelling at underlings in front of their flat screens. And it's just, it's so dull.
But what about running, shooting, and double crossing?
There's a little, by the time that comes around, there's a very good motorcycle chase in Manila at the end of this film that is like a good, spiffy, zippy chase scene. But by then, it's just been 2 hours of everyone saying, this really is a Bourne movie, and here's why. Because when Bourne did this, then I had to do that. And if you do that, then I can't have my programs. We got to shut this down. And after a while,
it really
gets boring. So I'm sorry to say this was a huge letdown. Not that anyone's hopes were that high in the first place, but a huge letdown.
I guess I'm fine with the fact that I had to, quote, work late that night.
Yes, okay, quote, unquote. But let's talk about Hope Springs.
And then we did the exercise.
Yeah, that was...
We woke up.
Yeah.
And we were in the same bed.
Yeah, it was...
Comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled with the progress that you've made, and I think it's going to make it that much easier to proceed to the next step.
What is it? Write a poem, hold hands in public, sing a serenade?
Sex.
We should just get our things and go.
Meryl Streep, Tommy Lee Jones as a 31-year married couple on the rocks. The fire is cooling. The fire is fading.
Yeah, they've been struggling for a while. And
yes.
They go to an intensive couples therapy week away. Steve Carell is their therapist,
yes.
The couples therapist. And they're just trying to save the marriage. And I have to say, I know it looks like schlock.
Yes.
And I know that no matter what, I'm probably always going to love Meryl Streep and I'm always going to love a romantic comedy. But I didn't just love this one. I really, really, really loved this movie.
You really loved it. Three reallys loved it.
Yes.
Wow,
I really loved it. I think anybody who's been in a long-term relationship is going to see moments in here that they're going to chuckle with recognition.
Yes.
They're going to cringe with recognition. They're going to laugh out loud. And I think they're going to cry.
Yes.
I know that I did, and I know that everybody in the audience that was sitting with me did. For the first two-thirds of the movie, everybody around me was laughing out loud. They were guffawing. They, you know, sometimes the chuckles would go on and on. And then about two-thirds of the way through the movie, I started to hear the sobbing in the theater.
And, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I looked over at the guy who was crying quite hard next to me, some middle-aged guy who had been laughing really, really loudly earlier, was just sobbing.
What a softy.
Oh, God, but it's so good. Did you cry?
I did
admit
not,
it, you cried.
I did not cry.
In your heart, were you crying?
I did not. No,
were you trying
not,
to suppress the tears?
No, I was
you
not crying
you
in
were
my
suppressing.
Heart.
What?
No, I liked this movie a lot. I liked this movie a lot. Meryl Streep, you know, to say the obvious, is totally great in this movie. As you and I were saying earlier today on the show, one thing that struck me about this movie is a lot of this movie is about sex. It is about an older couple trying to reconnect sexually. They sleep in separate beds and have done for about 5 years. And so one of the things that Dr. Bernard Feld, the kindly Steve Carell, is trying to say to them is you need to get intimate again, get back on the horse. And so they are trying to do that. And what that entails is watching Meryl Streep do some things that I mean, I haven't seen probably all 40-something of her movies, but I am pretty sure we have never seen Meryl Streep do these things on screen. Don't I mean, right?
She does some things.
Yeah, she does some things.
There are some things she does.
And yes. She does some things alone.
Tommy Lee Jones does some things, too.
Okay, Tommy Lee Jones does some things, too. You might be right about Tommy Lee Jones.
I don't know if I've seen Tommy Lee Jones do all these
well,
things.
Well, they're not the first people you think of in terms of... They're not what we think of as sexual actors. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, when I think of these things...
Yes. Yes, Kristen.
I don't necessarily think of them.
No.
Like, I don't want to give anything away.
Right.
You don't want to give anything away.
Right, because some of these scenes are very funny.
Some of them are great.
Funny and very poignant.
Yeah.
And you feel their discomfort and you feel their struggle to get reacquainted and have a sex life that perhaps they never had in the first place even.
Mm-hmm.
All that is really interesting. And I think one of the interesting things about it is that I think these are scenes that Meryl Streep could not have done or would not have wanted to do as a younger woman. I think the fact that she's doing them now as an older woman makes them funny and I think but also gives her a sense of dignity that she maybe wouldn't have had back in her younger, prettier, sexier days. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
And I think there's also something really brave and impressive about her doing that at this age. I think she's 63, or she's
she's in her mid-60s.
She's certainly
yeah.
over 60.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't love this movie from top to bottom, but I really thought Meryl Streep was great, and I think it's a really good movie, and the kind of movie you don't see very much.
Yeah.
A middle-aged romance. You don't see it on screen very much.
I love a middle-aged romance. You know, I
you
love,
do. You do,
I love all romances, but I have a really big soft spot in my heart for middle-aged romances.
I know you do.
And one of the reasons why is I think that Hollywood has such an infatuation with young love.
Yep.
They have such an infatuation with vampire love. They have such an infatuation with any kind of...
They'd rather see vampire love than middle-aged love.
Yeah, absolutely. Or psychotic love.
Yes,
there are all sorts of love stories that Hollywood would rather show. Partly, I think, just because they're easier. It's easier to have the built-in drama of two people who fall in love but then have to move to separate continents. It's easier to show I'm a werewolf and you're an alien. But I think it's really much more of a challenge, and you have to really delve into human nature a lot more to show a long-term couple.
Mm-hmm.
And that drama is so much more subtle, and I think that in so many ways it's so much more real.
Yes.
And that makes it a lot harder to tell, I think.
Yes, I agree.
But I think they just do a great job with this, and I'm just going to say, fantastic date.
All right. I would say very, very good date. Not quite as enthusiastic as you are, but very good date.
Excellent. Well, I loved it, but let's talk about the campaign.
Well, as a Christian, I guess that it would be easy for you to recite the Lord's Prayer.
Is that what we're resorting to here? Gestapo tactics?
I would like to hear that. Would you like to hear them say the Lord's Prayer?
Fine, I'm happy to. Our Father, Art, who is up in heaven, aloe vera be thy name.
Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis, Will Ferrell plays, both playing to type in this movie.
Yeah,
Will
he's
Ferrell
playing
is,
Cam Brady, the,
right.
who's not that different than his depictions of George W. Bush.
Yes, right.
And Cam Brady, I think they're North Carolina.
North Carolina, right.
He's the North Carolina congressman who's been in office for ages and ages. And then
never been challenged.
Never been challenged until Zach Galifianakis' character.
As Marty Huggins.
Marty Huggins comes in.
The guy from the tourist bureau.
Who loves his pugs and
yes.
his plump wife and Twizzlers and candy and his fat children.
Yes.
He runs for office against him. And,
right.
And wackiness ensues.
Wackiness ensues.
So what'd you think, Rafer?
Well, I think, it's funny talking to people just sort of in the office and friends. I hear a lot of mixed expectations. A lot of people think, oh, that looks pretty funny and I'll go see it. A lot of people, I think, also have said they're getting a little sick of the shtick from both these actors, a little sick of you know, Will Ferrell playing the kind of blowhard and Zach Galifianakis playing the kind of weird, wimpy man-child that he's been playing in the, you know, Hangover and Due Date and things like that. Me personally, I thought they were both kind of in their comfort zones. They're good at this stuff. This is what they do. I think they did it well. And I thought the movie was actually pretty creative and pretty funny, almost even beyond them. And they're both very good. I just think the movie had a lot of pretty funny ideas to it. And as you and I were saying, I think one of the funniest things is all they have to do is just act like actual politicians and you just start laughing. You know, there's the scene. We were just talking about this, the scene where you know, there. I think it's the scene where Cam Brady, Will Ferrell, is about to, you know, claim his seat for office once again. And before the little proceeding can get started, he quietly tweets a picture of his genitals to some chick and then turns to Jason Sudeikis, who is his campaign manager, and says, I'm going to CC you on this. You
know? Ah, oh, wiener.
And Jason Sudeikis says, I don't want that. And Will Ferrell says, you're welcome. And it just captures the arrogance and the idiocy of doing something like that. And I thought it was really funny the way it was staged. And there's a lot of moments like that in this movie.
Yeah, I love it. And all of these things that you can laugh at because they just are so ridiculous and over the top, you're also just laughing because they've actually already happened.
Because they've actually happened.
Yeah, it's
right.
Like, oh, no, I actually did get into a hunting accident.
Right. I actually did shoot someone in the leg, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, or
there's a scene where a yarmulke is called a Yamaha.
Yeah, that's right. That's Zach, right, who mistakes it for a Yamaha.
Yeah, while making a campaign visit to a synagogue, which is not that different from Mitt Romney calling a Sikh a sheik, actually happened this week.
Yes. Right, exactly.
Real life right there.
I think the other funny thing about this movie is that the person it makes fun of almost more than anyone are the voters. Because the voters in this movie just routinely fall for the worst logic, the stupidest rhetoric. My favorite scene in the film is when Zach Galifianakis pulls out his Trump card. It's a story that Cam Brady wrote about sharing and sort of like socialism and sharing a pot of gold when he was eight years old. And it's a story called Rainbow Land. And Will Ferrell keeps saying, it's a fictional place. I was eight. And one of the town hall guys stands up, some voter stands up and screams, I don't want to live in Rainbow Land. And I just thought, you know what? Real elections have been lost for less. I mean, really and truly. So I thought the movie had some pretty good moments. I would say it was a pretty good date.
I thought it was ridiculous. I thought it was stupid.
It's very stupid.
And I thought it was very, very funny. I also thought it was a good date.
I'm so glad.
All right. Rafer, do you want to remind us of the trivia question?
Yes. All right. So the trivia question, combining both our political themes and our Meryl Streep themes, what early career movie for Meryl Streep starred her as the mistress of a politician? If you know, call us, 5717-MOVIES. America, make God thy gold refined. Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening. Ever again divine. And you know, when I was in school, we used to sing it something like this. Listen here. Oh, beautiful, far spacious skies. Far and